I get myself properly turned on. I have a sport coat on today, which has been in the closet for quite a while. And you guys, as I came this weekend, you know, would any of the young people that were there this weekend, would you stand up for a moment? Any of the young people that were there this weekend, would you stand up? Okay. Could we stop just for a second and pray for young people today? You know, I'll be 62 years old in April. Thank you. I look well preserved. And you know what? God has blessed me to be able to work with young people. One of the great blessings of my life. And I think over and over again, we as older people, the Bible says to us, let no man despise your youth. And I think sometimes as you get older, you either get afraid of them, or you're nervous about everything that they do. And we need to be people who encourage this group. We need to be people who encourage our young people to stand. When I see Ben stand up here, and Ben and Kenzie did an unbelievable job of sharing their story with the group, right? It was good, wasn't it? It was better than me. Okay, see, they're being polite. They say, we don't want to get in here, Bob, but yes. But you guys, when I take a look at what God wants to do, are we people who are encouraging our young people? The world's got all kinds of stuff out there. And the opportunity to look at our young people and say, go for it. I dream of a generation coming that will be more committed to Jesus Christ than my generation has been. I dream about a generation coming that will lift up the name of Jesus Christ and say, behold, Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we need to be people who encourage that to happen. Father, I thank you for young people. I pray, Lord, that this group, that you would use them today for your honor and glory. And that as we think through all of the stuff, and oh, you're going to someday do this and someday do that, that they would grasp a hold of the truth that you have given them today and you desire to use them today. And that you desire to use every one of us. So guide, direct. We pray for your hand upon us. We pray for your wisdom. And then we pray, Lord, that we would boldly proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ in this world. So guide, direct, as I commit these young people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you guys. You may not be done. I may humiliate you more before it's over with, okay? All right? When Art and I talked about coming, and he said, well, Bob, why don't you talk in the 11:15 service? Why don't you talk about personal purity? He said, don't go into the parenting stuff. And so as I've been thinking about all of this, what does it look like? And so when I was studying, and God's just been laying on my heart, because the question I think for every one of us is this idea of personal purity. What is it in your life right now that is trying to pull you down? What is the issue for you? Because as soon as you say purity, everybody says, oh, he must be going to have a sex talk with us or something. But purity encompasses all of our lives. It covers every aspect of our lives. And the question is, what is it that is attacking you, that's after you, trying to stain, trying to wreck, trying to pull you down? This week we had the opportunity, it was the regional conference for Christian Camp and Conference Association. We met at Gull Lake Bible Conference Center. 500 people from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan came together to talk about. And I sat with one of my friends, Daniel Wallace, who's the director at Gull Lake. And I said, hey, buddy, how's it going? And he said, you know, he says, pray for us. He says, a huge Bible church that they attend just discovered the pastor has been having a 5-year affair. And people devastated. People struggling. And yet, over and over again, for all those 5 years, he stood up and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. People came to Christ. Things grew. Things happened. And yet, in that quiet spot in his life, something took over and grabbed and says, I want to destroy. I want to wreck. and for us in personal purity. Maybe for somebody here it is. It's all the stuff that's out there. It's the pornography on the internet. It's the this, it's the that. And maybe it is all of those things. For somebody else, the thing that may be eating you and just staining and wrecking and pulling you away from Almighty God is a hatred of somebody. And you say, well, hatred, Bob, that's too strong of a word. I just don't like them very much. And boy, would I like to see them fall on their face. This whole thing about competition and how we do it and what we do. And I go to a Christian camping conference, 500 people there, and they are my co-workers in Jesus Christ, lifting up the name of Christ, that young people today would come to know Christ, would grow in their relationship with Christ, and we would be people who would stand together and cheer for each other and celebrate with each other. Instead, so much in the world today, in my life, I've had to struggle through the stuff of envy. Somebody else has got more than I've got. My buddy who runs a large camp in Michigan, called me on the phone a couple years ago, Christmas time, when all those people give money at the end of the year to keep us going, right? He called me, and he'd been through all kinds of stuff, hard things, and trying to get a ministry righted and all those things. We'd spent time praying together, time cheering together, and he calls me on the phone. He says, Bob, I had to call you. I just had to celebrate with somebody. And I said, great. What are we celebrating? And he says, I'm standing in the parking lot, and I am holding a check for $250,000 for our ministry. Immediately, I began praying. And I said, praise God, thank you so much for blessing Steve in his hard work and all these things, that this is just a sign to him of your approval, your strength, and your power. And I praise you, Almighty God. And I said, amen. And you know what was running around inside me? Why didn't I get that stinking gift? We're better than him. And God says, Bob, hang on, buddy, don't go there. Because we need to be people who celebrate with each other. This may be the last time I wear a sport coat when I come here. And as we go through and we look and we see, the question I have for you is, what is it? What is the personal purity issue that's trying to rip your life apart? What is that thing, that quiet, simple thing that's over on the side and say, you know what, I just hope nobody notices. And God says He desires to use us. The Bible says that if we don't cry out, the rocks would cry out. And man, I thought about that. Wouldn't that be awesome to watch the rocks cry out? I thought at Bear Lake to get one of those sound-activated boxes things, and we got two rocks that are by a swing set on the way to the dining hall. And I thought, man, this would really be cool. You get that little box in there, and campers would walk by it, and the rock would go, Jesus is Lord! You know, and the kid would go, wow! Isn't that awesome? And I thought, wouldn't that be unbelievable? And then I thought, you know what? God desires that we would be the ones that cry out. And it might be impressive for a little while to watch the rock cry out, but pretty soon we'd look at the rock and we'd say, you're just a stupid rock. You just sit there. Worst thing that you get every day is somebody sits on you. And yet God says in His love for us that we would be people who would cry out. And our personal purity, our desire to surrender to Almighty God, to become Christ-like, we have to go after that more than ever before because the challenges are huge. As the competition has grown, as more things have happened in Christian camping, in all of those areas, in my personal life areas, in all those things, is all that we want to begin to look at the other guy. And somebody else always has it better. Philippians 2 is where we went because I thought, what could I say to these people about personal purity that comes to anything? And so there's five things I want to challenge you with in personal purity. And so Philippians 2 was read to us. Wonderful job. I just love to watch young people come up and do things. Matter of fact, now it's time to put somebody on the spot. Okay? Can anybody from this weekend, we have not practiced this, so we may have a total flop here. Can anybody from this weekend tell me anything about the definition of purity? What do you remember about when we define purity? Yes, ma'am. Purity is what? Giving of yourself. Okay? To go in the idea that I pour out in love and what God has done in my life to cleanse me. I go out. Anybody else? Purity. Yes, sir. Love is giving. Lust is always about taking. Reader's Digest, we talked a lot about love this weekend. And, okay, and if some girl, Caitlin, you're on the spot now, if some guy someday comes up to you and goes, oh, I love you, what are you going to say to him? Talk to my dad. Yes! That's it. And you guys, as we go through and we teach this, and we go through the idea, and when we define purity, and I brought the young man up front, what do we do? What do we say? Such a quiet group. The young guy with the t-shirt on. What? Stay away from sin. And we took a t-shirt, a brand new t-shirt, and we smeared it with ketchup, with mustard and chocolate syrup. Unstained, untainted, unblemished. And you looked and it was a brand new t-shirt and you looked kind of like, you just wrecked a t-shirt, Bob. In our lives today, the lives of our young people today, and the lives of many of us are being wrecked. We are like the t-shirt, and over again, we get caught up in our stuff, and we just smear, and the sin comes in, and we become less and less effective. Less and less of thinking about the goodness of God and what He has done for us. Really quickly, if I want this personal purity, and I'm going to pursue it, five things from Philippians 2, five things, and real quickly, at verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that was of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Personal purity requires that we are willing to make ourselves nothing. That we are willing to take the lowly place. And over again in Christian ministry, I've watched so much the competition to be, oh, how are you better than this one? Or how are you unique? Or what are you here? Or what are you there? We are a ministry that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to stand with. And yet the pressure is, you got to build yourself up. Oh, if you don't build yourself up, everybody else will take over. And I believe so much in my personal purity life that I need to understand that the pressure is not to build myself up. The pressure is to become nothing. What do you think? How are you doing? Everybody likes the pat on the back. As I look around here, and some of you that have worked for us, with us, and prayed with us, and everything else, and I see and I look at some people that, you know, and sometimes I've tried to say thank you, and the person says, no, don't even go there. I do this for the glory of God. And I go, that's unique in today's world. It starts off, and here is Christ, the picture of humility, the picture of purity. And it starts off, and how did he do it? Made himself nothing. I love the Bible. It is the inspired word of God. Life is there. But I love the practicality of it. Because it says about Jesus, he made himself nothing. And there's a mother in the Bible. There's many mothers in the Bible. But there's a mother. And in Matthew chapter 20, you might know who I'm referring to. She goes to Jesus. And what is her request? Would you make sure that my boys, would you make sure that my boys get VIP seating? Would you make sure that they get the good spots on your right hand and on your left hand? Jimmy and Johnny are really nice guys and they're really committed to you and they deserve a special place. And the voice of a mother. I'm not picking on the ladies because I only have 12 minutes left and I don't want them to start throwing stuff at me. Mothers, sometimes we're trying to get Jimmy and Johnny special places. And we're failing to teach Jimmy and Johnny that the idea of it is to empty yourself, to become nothing. What do you think? Is it in the Bible? John the Baptist. All the stuff John the Baptist is doing, John 3:30, John the Baptist looks at his buddies, all the people following him, and John the Baptist says, he, Jesus, has to grow greater. I got to become less. And when you talk about the things that come in stain, the things that rip us apart, I have struggled in my life. I want to be more. I want to be more. I want more people to notice me. And John the Baptist says, you know what? He's got to become greater. I got to become less. Personal purity, I need to become less. And you know what? That is a tough one. And it's interesting because I love the Bible because it's like, I'm not the only one that struggled with this. How are you doing? I just want to be noticed. Next of all, Luke chapter 9, verse 46. I think I got it marked because I just love the story. Guess what the disciples start to do? Luke 9, 46, 47. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. They get together and they start arguing amongst themselves. I'm a better speaker than you. I'm a better this than you. I'm more in Jesus' inner circle, so I'm on the real in crowd. And an argument comes between them and they start arguing about who's the greatest. I love it when Jesus gets to those arguments because it says this, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. I love the way Jesus does things. He brings a little kid up and comes and stands next to him. Remember, what are these guys all arguing about? I'm number one. And he brings a little kid up and Jesus has a little kid stand next to him. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is the least among you all, he is the greatest. Anytime you read the Bible and you just don't like some of the stuff you're reading, you know, it's like, I don't like that verse very much. And yet the guys are over there and they're having this argument, who's the greatest? And Jesus brings a little kid up and says, you guys, woohoo, take a look. And unless you are willing to become the lesser, you're going to miss it all. Personal purity, preventing from all the stuff the world throws at us and all the junk and the garbage, the first step, are you willing to empty yourself? Are you willing to take the lowly place? Why do we do it? Why don't we make ourselves nothing? We have a fear we won't be recognized. Fear that somebody won't notice how hard I'm working. Leads to an attitude of, you know what, I am better than a lot of other people. And when those things start to creep in, the small little stains of impurity start to come into our lives. Second one that I would give you as you go through Philippians 2 is that it says that he became a servant. He became a servant. Made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Word is doulos. Actually, it comes and means really a slave. That I am a slave to Jesus Christ. The slave is totally dependent upon the master. Personal purity. How many times do I become dependent upon myself? Lord, I know you're real busy right now. You got all those other things to do. It's okay. I got this one under control. And the servant doesn't do that. The good servant doesn't do that. The good servant lives to glorify the master. Jesus becomes a servant. So I looked at it. The NIV, over 750 references to servant. King James, 850. It's a lot. Philippians 1:1, Paul. Philippians 1:1, you don't have to go there because it simply says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Titus, that's by Paul. Paul starts off, a servant of Jesus Christ. James, written James. A lot of people, a brother of Jesus, a lot of people say that, who is? And he starts off and says, James, a servant of Jesus Christ. If you follow and you say, well, I think this could be the brother thing. It's, wouldn't you think if you were Jesus' brother, you'd play that up a little bit? James, brother of Jesus. It's like name dropping. That is he's my brother. Instead, James. Wow. James says, a servant of Jesus Christ. Josiah, you think your brother? You think your brother would look at you and he'd look at all these people and he'd say, what's his name? Joel? Think Joel will look up to everybody and say, Joel, a servant of Josiah. Yeah, probably not going to happen. But James, you guys, James looks and he says, I'm a servant. You go through 2 Peter 1:1. Peter's writing. Peter says what? A servant of Jesus Christ. And you go into Jude, and it's Jude, and Jude says, you know, servant of Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. You guys, Galatians 1:10. If trying to please people, I would not be, if I was trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. How are you doing at serving? Personal purity? I can guarantee you this. If you're not opening your eyes to see how to serve, the stains will come in of impurity. Because if you're not serving others, you will look to be served for yourself. I see it over and over and over again. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if we're a teenager or even earlier. And it doesn't matter if you are 80s, 90s. We are to be servants. My mother just had her birthday. She's a little bit older. The same number of my high school football number that I wore. So you all know that I was not a quarterback now. And mom just turned, I guess you can say this because she's old enough, turned 84. And dad's 87, be 88 in September. And you know what? I love my parents. Because one of the things that they've taught me is they continue to look, even at this age of their life, they continue to look for ways to serve. My dad and I were talking the other day. We went out and spent a little time together. And my dad was kind of laughing. I said, "What's so funny?" He says, "Well," he says, "I got some people at church. They come to me in church and they say, you know," he says, "as you're getting older, isn't it harder? You have less and less stuff that you can do and it must be kind of..." And my dad says, I turned and I looked at him and I said, "You know what? I don't waste my time thinking about what I can't do. I try to figure out what I can do and I try to go do it." And I said, "Oh, that's way to go. Way to go, old guy. You could probably give your son some money. That would be a good thing to do, you know." And he says, "Son, you need to serve, you know." "Okay, Dad, I got it. So if you give me money, I'll serve somebody else with your..." But you guys, do you understand this thing about... I love the picture of Jesus. He's Jesus. But it says that he emptied himself, that he became a servant. The next one for us. So first of all, make yourself nothing. Secondly, become a servant. Thirdly, humble yourself. Because it says that Jesus, he humbled himself, became obedient. That's the fourth one. Become obedient. And it says about him, obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And the fifth one that I will give you is take, obedient unto death, even death on the cross, is to take the lowliest position possible. Now you say, "Okay, I have a title, I have a job description, I have a thing that I'm supposed to do, and I need to do those things. And for me to go in and I need to be willing to scrub a toilet at Bear Lake Bible Camp. But if all I do is scrub toilets at Bear Lake Bible Camp, there's other things that I have to do that probably board members will not be real happy with. I have a task to do, but it doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody else. I need to do it. And I need to be willing to take the lowly place. So much of it is, so-and-so is better, this camp is bigger, that camp is this and that, and we get into all those things in the conference, and I sat with the director of Spring Hill Camps, which is 500 campers a week. They will do 21,000 campers this year. And you know what? Michael and I sat and we talked. We prayed together for some friends. We shared some information together. Woohoo! We actually had something that he was interested in having. And you know what? He's my brother in the Lord. And I want to be able to take the lowly place. There's so much more, but you come to the end in 1 Timothy 1:15, you don't have to go there. 1 Timothy 1:15 is towards the end. It's towards the end of Paul's life. And Paul stands up and Paul says, "I am the chiefest of sinners. I am the worst sinner of all." He took the lowliest place. Did you catch it? I'll tell you one thing. When I think about Paul, I go, "Woohoo! If he's the chiefest of sinners, I'm in trouble." It's like, "Oh, good, Paul, you took that spot. Good, I can have one up the line a little bit." And the challenge in the personal purity, I want to take the lowly place. I want to stand. I want to stand with Paul. And as Paul says, "I'm the chiefest of sinners," I want to put my arm around him and say, "I'm standing right here with you, buddy. I'm not arguing about you got more than I got or anything else. I'm standing right with you as the chiefest of sinners. Why do we need to do that? Because if we see ourselves as the chiefest of sinners, then there is absolutely nobody who is not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I see campers come on the grounds, and I see people out and around all over with, sometimes there's some of them that drive me crazy. And when I turn and I want to look and I say, you know what, right here, chiefest of sinners. And when I stand in that position and I see my Savior, I see Him hanging on the cross and dying, He spoke my name. And I see my sins is what I deserve for my sin. And then I say, I am the chiefest of sinners. I look, nobody else. There's no one who is not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. This whole thing of the personal purity and the struggles, my question to you is, what is the struggle? What is your challenge? What is after you trying to pull you back from being a servant of Jesus Christ, from being a dynamic? I love the story. Jesus does this. Obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And I love the next verse because the next verse says this, therefore God the Father hath highly exalted Him, given Him the name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Do you see what it is? It is our job to be Christ-like, to do this. And then we trust Almighty God, and He will do this. And yet so many are afraid today that God doesn't have the time and God won't do this. They say, you know what, I'll help you a little bit, Lord, and I'll make sure that everybody knows how good I am. To finish up, some of you here, probably some of you more mature people, remember a gentleman named Bill Hind. Bill Hind is a gentleman who led me to the Lord many years ago, 54 years ago. And when I got ready to go to Bear Lake, Bill was at my folks' house and I was there. And I just said to him, I said, any words you have for me going into Christian ministry? And, you know, he was getting up there at that time. And he sat down and he said, yeah, three of them for you. His first word he gave me, if you're strong enough to sign the check, you're strong enough to send a thank you note. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? And he says, you know what? If people give you and bless you and everything else, you better take time to say thank you. I said, whoa, that's pretty good. Second one, don't go out and look at my car. Second one, he said, it doesn't have to be new, but it has to be taken care of because you represent Jesus Christ. He looked at me and he says, you won't make as much money. You won't do all those kind of things. And he says, you'll get into this thing where you can feel a little pity to yourself and say, well, you know what? My car's a beater and I can let it just fall apart and my clothes and all those things. And everybody, try to make everybody feel sorry for you. He said, don't go there. Doesn't have to be new, but it has to be taken care of. Third word he gave me, my favorite one. Be careful about criticizing anybody where it seems the cause of Jesus Christ is moving forward. And I looked at him and I said, wait a minute, you know, because you and I kind of agree, we're right, you know, and shoo, you know. He said, He said, be careful about criticizing anybody where something for the cause of Christ seems to be moving forward. And so much today, I want to do this the way Jesus did. And then I will trust my Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. I will trust God that God will take care of this. Ministry I'm involved in, are we willing to go with this? Because, Lord, I trust You. Personal purity. Question, how you doing? What is it in your life that's trying to yank you down, that's trying to destroy? Thank You, Father, for this time. I just commit ourselves to You. Pray that You would guide, direct. that we'd seek you with our whole hearts. Father, that I would practice what I preach. That I would be willing to take the lowly place. Thank you for where you've called us to. Thank you for the ways that you desire to use us. Help us to be faithful in seeking you and going after it with our whole hearts. As we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.